This is The Beat, a podcast series that keeps you in the know about the latest community policing topics facing our nation.
Hello and welcome. My name is Vonda Matthews, and on behalf of the Cops Office, I would like to thank you for joining us for the first in a series focusing on the promising innovations and cross-sector collaborations between public health and public safety, with the goal to improve the overall health and safety of our communities. Joining us today, we have Barmer Raymond. She's part of the management team at the California Endowment. She's the Director of Neighborhood Policy. Thank you, Barbara, for taking the time for this important discussion on seeding change, how small projects can improve community health and safety.
Thank you.
And I'm going to add you a couple questions, if it's all right. The first one is, the California Endowment is a private statewide health foundation with a mission to build a strong state by expanding the access to affordable, quality health care to underserved communities and improving the overall health of all Californians. How does encouraging partnerships with law enforcement fall in line with this goal?
At the California Endowment, we do have a mission that is focused on improving the health of all Californians. And about 3 years ago, we undertook a new strategic direction and a program called Building Healthy Communities. And the point of that program was really to acknowledge that health happens to us in the broadest sense of the word, that health is much more than what happens in the doctor's office, or even any diets you are undertaking at any moment in time, but that health, our health really rests on a lot of things in our communities, including the quality of the air that we breathe, the type of the school that you go to, and what services it has available to you, and the food and the exercise that your children get at school. It has to do with whether there's access to healthy food in your community. And we know also that it has to do with the violence or safety that is happening in your community or that your community seeks. And when we went to these communities across California as part of this new plan, we went to 14 communities in depth. They spoke, and we did a needs assessment process with about 20,000 residents, and they unanimously spoke up and said that, you know what, violence in our communities is our number one health issue. And really, before you want to work on any other health issues, you must address violence. We have to be safe. We have to have safe parks. We have to have safe places to walk and exercise and all those good things before we can really address all the other health issues or access points you might want to be addressing. So that was a little bit of a wake-up call. We had been aware, the California Endowment staff had been aware that violence was an issue, but when the residents and the people of California said that with such a strong voice, we really turned to and tried to understand what that would mean for a health foundation to start really more intensively doing work in that zone. And what we know about violence prevention is that police are really your first line of defense, and some would argue, you know, a really critical line of defense, because police are the folks that are out in the community with residents. And so we started, you know, looking at what police departments were doing across the state of California, who was doing interesting things in the field of prevention, who was taking what we would call a public health approach to the field, and just started really exploring that area of partnership with law enforcement a lot more intentionally.
And that next step, you said, you basically, how did you encourage that public health and safety collaboration? I know that California did offer seed money to a number of small projects, too, besides the ones you found. Can you speak a little bit about why the California Endowment got involved in the idea of encouraging this kind of cross-sector collaboration?
Well, it's really thanks to leadership from the COPS office that we started to think very explicitly about what are the intersects between public health and public safety, and how could we encourage people to think more intensively about this, especially on the public safety side. So Director Malekian at the time was from California, and we were in touch with him, and he was doing some, you know, real, I think, visionary things to improve the field of policing. And we ended up having a meeting in California with a set of police chiefs and a set of public health officials to talk about how those two fields overlap and intersect and what value they might bring to each other. And through that discussion, which was really very energetic and sparked a whole lot of thinking, and I think most of the chiefs really came away saying, yeah, this is a relief that people are framing this as a health issue. It's a relief to know that the safety isn't entirely, you know, up to the police, but that there are other tools and other partners to access in the work the police are doing every day. The conversation was so alive that we thought, oh, wow, we don't want this to end. You know, right. We want to see, there seems to be a lot of energy around this. Maybe if we put what we call mini grants into the mix, we could start to see some of the ideas that we were hearing in that original discussion. So we offered a set of mini grants to the police departments that were participating that day. Mm-hmm. And I think that maybe 7 or 8 departments across the country, but mainly in California, took up the offer for those grants and each started to kind of do a version of what they felt was a public health, public safety collaboration.
What have been some of the results from those pilot projects and the collaboration so far?
Well, one of the things that we really talked about was the need to look at your data much more carefully. It's a little bit like the SARA model in policing, actually, but, mm-hmm. you know, we really, public health professionals really think about and understand the fact that if we want to understand an outbreak of disease, for instance, you have to look at the data, you have to look for patterns, you have to look for sources, you have to look for things that really give you a very detailed and concrete understanding of what the problem is. Not like, I think I understand this problem, but oh yes, absolutely, people were at this, you know, pharmacy or this eating establishment, et cetera. So that's one of the underlying premises of the idea of using a public health model in policing. And several of the sites, and I'll talk about Milwaukee for a moment, mm-hmm. you know, really embody the idea that our data, as dry as that sounds, can actually bring our problems to life in a way that we can address them in a much more effective way. And so they have something they call a homicide review board, but you can apply it to any type of crime. And they have an interdisciplinary team who comes together on a regular basis. They sit down, they say, okay, you know, let's look at a crime type. You could also equally look at a location where things are happening, and let's understand everything about this problem. And one of my favorite interventions that they come up with is, and this is true in a lot of cities, there was a situation where girlfriends were carrying guns for their boyfriends, and when Milwaukee realized that, they designed an intervention where they actually went to beauty shops, and they passed on the information to the women who worked at beauty shops to communicate with the girls getting their hair done, saying, hey, you know, what's going to happen to you if you're carrying this weapon? Is all these other bad things are going to happen, and you really can't do that? And they really saw some great effects just from that simple education effort.
Well, that's great. Are there other elements or kind of pilot projects that look especially promising?
Well, another favorite of mine is right here in California, in East Palo Alto, with Chief Ron Davis. And Ron really took this to heart in a way that we just had no idea someone would do. He has a lot of interesting issues going on there, and they have high violent crime rate, despite being a rather small town. In the case of East Palo Alto, because it's a small geographic area, they're actually able to saturate the whole geographic area with the ShotSpotter technology. Mm-hmm. And instead of just using it to go after the fact and try to solve, you know, shootings or crimes, Ron had the smart idea, why don't we look at the shots fired data, which was much more prevalent than the shots called in data, and just gave them a much, much cleaner idea and more comprehensive idea of what was really happening. They looked at two parks. They looked at the hot zones, of course. They looked at two parks in those hot zones of where the most shots were fired. And they said, hey, we can re-legitimize these parks. Why don't we put police out with community members doing something? They coined this great term, fit zone, so they added a health element in this way as well. And they went out and they walked, and they had scooters and bicycles and skateboards and even those segways. And they go out on a regular basis every Tuesday night, let's say, and uniformed and plainclothes police are out with community members. They connect them up with clinics, health clinics, and community health outreach workers, and all sorts of other services. But mainly, their purpose originally was to just take back the space for legitimate purposes. And it has been overwhelmingly popular, and all sorts of, you know, trust building, police legitimacy, amazing outcomes from that effort.
Well, that is interesting. In the new publication just out from the COPS office, I think that might have been mentioned. In fact, Seeding Change, How to Small Projects Can Improve Community Health and Safety, which does describe the second roundtable in a series of topics sponsored by the California Endowment, the COPS office, and the Center for Court Innovation. Your quote is saying, great things are happening in public health and public safety collaborations, but they haven't yet made it the leap into the mainstream. Now that a number of projects have started, like the ones you mentioned, thanks to the seed funding from the California Endowment, what do you see as the next steps on the ground and in policy circles?
I think that the trick is always to take, you know, to go from what starts to being an idea that a certain number of people are holding to an idea that does kind of make its way into the mainstream and to be known. And I think it takes the combination of variables and efforts. So we are trying to bring the ideas of public health and public safety to the field more intentionally through, you know, having conference panels at IACP, at PERF, at the different conferences, Major City Chief, and the COPS, of course, the COPS Annual Conference. We're working to encourage more sizable funding from other government agencies and as well as ourselves, and we're pitching other funders on this concept, and we've had a lot of good reception to it, so that we can get more demonstration projects and more robust projects on the ground. You always need the evidence to be able to prove the concept and be able to say that other folks should take this up as well. We're working on the kind of academic front, so to speak, and having articles in journals and other places where that audience can think about this issue. You know, the public health folks have talked about violence as a public health issue for a really long time, for several decades anyway, and I think that the police and criminal justice folks haven't been as quick to understand the public health implication or the way that there are tools in things like public health approaches that you could use for better policing. And it's my bias to think that the police have a lot of great ideas, so we're hoping that that side of the equation starts talking more and more about all the tools that they need to draft in to help them be most effective. And then finally, on the policy front, we work both in California with local jurisdictions and cities to understand what these approaches can do. We're encouraging partnerships between the health department and the police departments. And the COPS office is, of course, working nationally with the Center for Core Innovation to talk to national policymakers as well about how you could incentivize funding streams and other things to support work like this.
We appreciate all your efforts along those lines. What are the challenges of encouraging any innovation that requires professionals to be on their fields of expertise? And how can those challenges be met?
I guess I would say that I might argue that asking police to look at a problem from a so-called public health perspective, which is to really understand the problem and then tailor the solution to the problem and then check on what you did, is really very much fundamental to police work. I mean, we don't get to do it all the time in the field of policing, but it is, in my experience, the best examples of policing come from really getting a broad understanding. If you're trying to eliminate a street level, you know, like an open-air drug market or other kind of pervasive neighborhood and community problems, you do exactly what they did in East Palo Alto. You say, hey, wait a minute, what does my data show me? I'm going to go to that place, and I'm not just going to put uniform bodies on the street. I'm going to do something creative here. You know, I'm going to do something new and hopefully get a new response. So in this particular case, I think that it's the highest form of policing and that many police officers and certainly police leadership is capable of thinking in this way. I think that for me, the challenge comes from just getting so busy and needing to do your daily work. And how do you take a step back and think of something from a fresh perspective and say, hey, wow, you know, what could really improve community safety here is if we kind of tweaked our approach
right. These
kinds of ways.
I agree. And again, your seed funding, I think, has really made a difference in allowing those people the resources also, too, to take that kind of fresh approach, and your encouragement has been appreciated. Is there anything else you would like to add?
I'm thrilled to see the COPS office kind of taking up these kinds of things. I think there is such just a critical voice, need for the voice in the national leadership that you all are providing. And I think that I just really want to thank the department for continuing to do work in this area. The policing always can be improved, and having the leadership come out of the national office is really critical.
Well, thank you, Barbara. We really appreciate you sharing kind of your time and your expertise with us and for the efforts you're making out there to not only what you're doing, but encouraging others to make a difference to make communities safer and healthier.
Thank you.
The Beat was brought to you by the United States Department of Justice COPS Office. The COPS Office helps to keep our nation's communities safe by giving grants to law enforcement agencies, developing community policing publications, developing partnerships, and solving problems.
The opinions contained herein are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official position or policies of the U.S. Department of Justice. References to specific agencies, companies, products, or services should not be considered an endorsement by the authors or the U.S. Department of Justice. Rather, the references are illustrations to supplement discussion of the issues.